How much of the magic equipment of the Fuli Gesellschaft was used is shown in the following text. Hitler took the Fuli Salut Heil Unsieg, Salvation and Victory, and made it into Sieg Heil. This salute together with the raising of the arm is a magic ritual which is used to form vaults. Franz Baden wrote more about magic vaults and their use. Franz Baden, aka Frobato, 1909-1958, was the German magician I knew most about. He had been offered high posts in government by Hitler if he would help him win the war by his magic faculties. Baden should also give Hitler the addresses of the other 98-99 lodges. Hitler was a member of the Dresden Lodge, that exist all over the world. When Baden denied his help, he was subjected to terrible torture. Franz Baden, Frobato. Magic rites were not only used in Germany, though. The victory sign of the English, the V-shaped fingers, was until 1940 only known to the highest of the high in high degree masonry. When the high degree Freemason Winston Churchill feared that England might fall victim to Hitler's successful hand magic, the German salute, his mentor in magic, the Satanist Aleister Crowley, advised him to counter it with the two spread fingers. The SS, also called the Black Order, was everything but a police troop. It was a proper religious order of a hierarchical makeup. The brutal Nazi Party is a holy order? In hindsight, this seems ridiculous, until one notices that it wouldn't be the first time in history that a holy order was responsible for the most monstrous atrocities. The Jesuits, but also the Dominicans who ruled the Catholic Inquisition in the Middle Ages, are prime examples. The Black Order was the practical realization of the esoteric and occult belief system of the Fuli Gesellschaft, and the later SS Schwarz Sun, Black Sun, not only worked closely together with the Tibetan colony in Berlin but also with the Tibetan Order of Black Magic. Hitler was in constant contact with the Guardian of the Key. He is said to have known the entrance to Agartha, Ariana. On April 25, 1945, when the Russians found in a Berlin cellar the bodies of six Tibetans lying in a circle, the one lying in the center wore green gloves. It seemed they had committed group suicide. On May 2, 1945, after the Russians had entered Berlin, more than 1,000 bodies were found who definitely came from the Himalayan region and had fought along with the Germans. What in the world had Tibetans to do here, thousands of kilometers from their country and in German uniforms? Countless numbers of young men had been trained by the Black Sun during the Third Reich, initiated in the Wolfsburg and sent to Tibet to survive and to prepare for the great final battle at the end of this century. According to Franz Baden, Adolf Hitler was also a member of a FOGC Lodge Freemaurerorden der Goldenen Century, Dresden, Germany equals Masonic Order of the Golden Century, which is actually known as the 99 Lodges. There are 99 of these 99 lodges in many places of the world, all with 99 members. Each lodge is presided by a demon, and each member has his personal demon. The deal is that the demon helps his person gain money and power, but his soul is after death committed to serve the demon. In addition, one member is sacrificed every year to the lodge demon. It will be replaced by a new member. The members of the 99 lodges are also industrialists and bankers of the highest caliber, and today are more important than ever. The FOGC or 99 lodges are, in my opinion, the most dangerous, compared to which the Church of Satan of Anton LaVey that the media write about is harmless. 103. Franz Baden confirmed that Hitler and the Fuli Order were the outer tool of a group of Tibetan magicians. Only one who knows about those circumstances will understand this sentence from a speech by Hitler held on January 30, 1945. In this battle again, Inner Asia will not win, but Europe, led by that nation that for 1,500 years has represented Europe as vanguard towards the East and will continue to do so in all eternity, our great German Reich, the German nation. Max Damaris, Hitler, Speeches and Declarations 1932-1945. There are also many myths about the whereabouts of Adolf Hitler after the war. According to Franz Budden and Miguel Cyrano's, former Chilean ambassador to Germany, Hitler escaped with the help of the 99 Lodge. This is perhaps easier to understand if one knows that Hitler used up to 5 doubles during his tenure. A large German newspaper wrote on March 5, 1979 that Hitler's private plane had been found in the jungle in South America. Joseph Grenier, The End of the Hitler Myth, also states that Hitler had taken off in his plane from Berlin Tempelhof on April 30, 1945. Later, around the time of the Nuremberg trials, it is said that Stalin asked US officials whether they knew where Hitler was. If Hitler had died in Berlin in 1945, why would Stalin ask? If Hitler did survive, however, it is most probable that he had availed himself of the developments by the viral Gesellschaft, which I will describe in the following chapter, Tibetan Magicians. Only one who knows about those circumstances will understand this sentence from a speech by Hitler held on January 30, 1945. In this battle again, Inner Asia will not win, but Europe, led by that nation that for 1,500 years has represented Europe as vanguard towards the East and will continue to do so in all eternity, our great German Reich. The German nation. Max Damaris, Hitler, Speeches and Declarations 1932-1945. There are also many myths about the whereabouts of Adolf Hitler after the war. According to Franz Budden and Miguel Cyrano's, former Chilean ambassador to Germany, Hitler escaped with the help of the 99 Lodge. This is perhaps easier to understand if one knows that Hitler used up to 5 doubles during his tenure. A large German newspaper wrote on March 5, 1979 that Hitler's private plane had been found in the jungle in South America. Joseph Grenier, The End of the Hitler Myth, also states that Hitler had taken off in his plane from Berlin Tempelhof on April 30, 1945. Later, around the time of the Nuremberg trials, it is said that Stalin asked US officials whether they knew where Hitler was. If Hitler had died in Berlin in 1945, why would Stalin ask? If Hitler did survive, however, it is most probable that he had availed himself of the developments by the viral Gesellschaft, which I will describe in the following chapter, for leaving Germany. Whether Hitler died then or not, in the meantime he died anyway. On March 14, 1946, Karl Haushofer had, since his mission had failed, first killed his wife and then committed seppuku, harakiri, as the Yellow Hats had made him swear. The theoretical and practical build-up of the Third Reich on the German side had been wholly initiated and steered by the Thule Gesellschaft. The financing came from the international bankers. The womb from whence it all came is still fertile, since the Thule Gesellschaft or its offspring are still with us today. Another secret group that spoke of the coming of an Aryan savior and to which Hermann Göring, the Nazis' finance chief, belonged was the Edelweiss Gesellschaft. But here it does not concern us. Chapter 33: The Viril Gesellschaft or Not All Good Comes From Above. The Viril Gesellschaft, Viril Society, does not exactly fit or subject which has a more political slant, but it is indeed one of the most interesting secret societies that ever existed. Therefore it just has to be mentioned here. In Germany there is not a single book, or indeed any material, to be found that would show up an organization of this name. The Allies successfully removed it all. But as you will see, not all the material has actually disappeared. And I am very pleased that I can uncover this subject here, because you will see which non-German power circles have an interest to keep these events from the German people. In 1919, Karl Haushofer founded a second order, the Brüder des Lichts, Brothers of the Light, that later was renamed Viril Gesellschaft. In this united the new Templar Order Die Herren vom Schwarzenstein, DHVSS, the Lords of the Black Stone, that emerged in 1917 from the Teutonic Order, and the Schwarzritter, Black Knights, of the Thule and SS elite Schwarzensohn, Black Sun. To compare the Thule and the Viril Gesellschaften, It is easiest said. The Thule Gesellschaft dealt with material and political interests, while the Viril Gesellschaft was more oriented towards the other side. But many concepts they shared, like Atlantis, Thule, the basic connection between the Teutons and Mesopotamia, but also the old sacred places like 104, the Externstein, external stones, or the Hausberg at Stranegg were areas of common research. In December 1919, a small circle of persons from the Thule, the Viril and the DHVSS met in a specially rented forester's lodge near Pstzgarden, Germany. They were accompanied by the medium Maria Orsic and another medium only known as Sigrun. Maria had mediumistically received transmission in a secret Templar script, a language unknown to her, with the technical data for the construction of a flying machine. According to Viril documents, these telepathic messages came from the solar system Aldebaran, which is 68 light-years away in the constellation Taurus. I would like to present here a short summary of the messages the Viril medium had received over the years and which formed the basis for all further actions by the Viril Gesellschaft. The solar system Aldebaran has a sun around which revolve two inhabited planets that form the Empire Sumeran. The population of the Aldebaran system is divided into the master race of light god people, Aryans, and several other human races that had developed by a negative mutation from the god people because of climatic changes upon the planets. The colored mutant races apparently are on a lower stage of spiritual development. The more the races intermixed, the lower the spiritual development of these people sank, which led to the situation that when the sun Aldebaran began expanding, they could no longer maintain the space travel technology of their forefathers and could not leave the planets by their own means. The lower races, totally dependent upon the master race, had to be evacuated and were brought to other inhabitable planets. Despite their difference, all the races respected one another and did not interfere with each other, neither the so-called god people nor the lower races. Each respected that the others just made their own developments, in contrast to what happens on Earth. Around 500 million years ago, the light god people started to colonize other Earth-like planets, after the expansion of the sun Aldebaran and the resulting heat had made the original planets uninhabitable. It is said that in our system they first colonized the planet Malona, also called Maldk, Marduk or, by the Russians, Phaeton, which existed in the area of today's asteroid belt, then between Mars and Jupiter. Mars was next. The proof for a highly developed race on Mars is run by the well-known Face on Mars and the Pyramid City, which has been photographed by the Mars probe Viking in 1976. It is assumed that the master race of Sumeran Aldebaran then also came to Earth for a first visit, witnessed by the petrified impressions of a shoe found to be about 500 million years old, and squashed under the heel a trilobite, a little crayfish that lived then upon Earth and became extinct about 400 million years ago. The Viril people thought that later, when Earth became slowly habitable, the race of the Aldebarans landed in Mesopotamia and formed the master caste of the Sumerians, which were described as fair, white god people. The Viril telepaths also found that the Sumerian language was not only identical with that of the German, and that the language frequently of German and Sumerian Aldebaranian were almost identical. We cannot know whether these statements about Aldebaran were based on facts, but the construction plans and the technical details that the Viril telepaths received, wherever they came from, were so accurate that they led to the most fantastic idea men ever begot: the construction of a Gensflug machine, a flying machine for the other side. The concept of an alternative science emerged, today one would say alternative energy forms. But they only started on the project 3 years later. During this early phase of alternative science or alternative technology, Dr. W. O. Schumann of the Technical University in Munich, both a Thule and a Viril member, held a speech, a section of which is reproduced here, research. In December 1919, a small circle of persons from the Thule, the Viril and the DHVSS met in a specially rented forester's lodge near Pstzgarden, Germany. They were accompanied by the medium Maria Orsic and another medium only known as Sigrun. Maria had mediumistically received transmission in a secret Templar script, a language unknown to her, with the technical data for the construction of a flying machine. According to the real documents, these telepathic messages came from the solar system Aldebaran, which is 68 light-years away in the constellation Taurus. I would like to present here a short summary of the messages the Viril medium had received over the years and which formed the basis for all further actions by the Viril Gesellschaft. The solar system Aldebaran has a sun around which revolve two inhabited planets that form the Empire Sumeran. The population of the Aldebaran system is divided into the master race of light god people, Aryans, and several other human races that had developed by a negative mutation from the god people because of climatic changes upon the planets. The colored mutant races apparently are on a lower stage of spiritual development. The more the races intermixed, the lower the spiritual development of these people sank, which led to the situation that when the sun Aldebaran began expanding, they could no longer maintain the space travel technology of their forefathers and could not leave the planets by their own means. The lower races, totally dependent upon the master race, had to be evacuated and were brought to other inhabitable planets. Despite their difference, all the races respected one another and did not interfere with each other, neither the so-called god people nor the lower races. Each respected that the others just made their own developments, in contrast to what happens on Earth. Around 500 million years ago, the light god people started to colonize other Earth-like planets, after the expansion of the sun Aldebaran and the resulting heat had made the original planets uninhabitable. It is said that in our system they first colonized the planet Malona, also called Muldk, Marduk or, by the Russians, Phaeton, which existed in the area of today's asteroid belt, then between Mars and Jupiter. Mars was next. The proof for a highly developed race on Mars is run by the well-known Face on Mars and the Pyramid City, which has been photographed by the Mars probe Viking in 1976. It is assumed that the master race of Sumeran Aldebaran then also came to Earth for a first visit, witnessed by the petrified impressions of a shoe found to be about 500 million years old, and squashed under the heel a trilobite, a little crayfish that lived then upon Earth and became extinct about 400 million years ago. The Viril people thought that later, when Earth became slowly habitable, the race of the Aldebarans landed in Mesopotamia and formed the master caste of the Sumerians, which were described as fair, white god people. The Viril telepaths also found that the Sumerian language was not only identical with that of the German, and that the language frequently of German and Sumerian Aldebaranian were almost identical. We cannot know whether these statements about Aldebaran were based on facts, but the construction plans and the technical details that the Viril telepaths received, wherever they came from, were so accurate that they led to the most fantastic idea men ever begot: the construction of a Gents Flug machine, a flying machine for the other side. The concept of an alternative science emerged, today one would say alternative energy forms. But they only started on the project 3 years later. During this early phase of alternative science or alternative technology, Dr. W. O. Schumann of the Technical University in Munich, both a Thule and a Viril member, held a speech, a section of which is reproduced here, 105. In everything we recognize two principles that determine the events: light and darkness, good and evil, creation and destruction, as in electricity we know plus and minus. It is always either or. These two principles, the creative and the destructive, also determine our technical means. Everything destructive is of satanic origin. Everything creative is divine. Every technology based upon explosion or combustion has thus to be called satanic. The coming new age will be an age of new, positive, divine technology. From the German SS secret archives. At the same time, the scientist Victor Schaubberger worked on a similar project. Johannes Kepler, whose ideas Schaubberger followed, had knowledge of the secret teachings of Pythagoras that had been adopted and kept secret by the Knights Templar. It was the knowledge of implosion, in this case the utilization of the potential of the inner worlds in the outer world. Hitler knew, as did the Thule and Vril people, that the divine principle was always constructive. A technology, however, that is based on explosion and therefore is destructive runs against the divine principle. Thus they wanted to create a technology based on implosion. Schauberger's theory of oscillation, principled of the overtone sequence, monochord, takes up the knowledge of implosion. To put it simply, implosion instead of explosion. Following the energy paths of the monochord and the implosion technology, one reaches the realm of antimatter and thus the cancellation of gravity. In the summer of 1922, the first saucer-shaped flying machine was built whose drive was based on implosion, the other side flying machine. It had a disc 8 meters across with a second disc with a diameter of 6.5 meters above and a third disc of 7 meters diameter below. These are three discs had a hole at the center of 1.80 meters across in which the drive, which was 2.40 meters high, was mounted. At the bottom, the central body was cone-shaped, and the pendulum reaching the cellar was hung that served for stabilization. In the activated state, the top and bottom disc revolved in opposing directions to build up an electromagnetic rotating field. The performance of this first flying disc is not known. But experiments were carried out with it for 2 years before it was dismantled and probably stored in the Augsburg works of Messerschmitt. In the books of several German industrial companies, entries under the code name JFM, for Jenst's Flug Machine, can be found that show payments towards financing this work. Certainly the Vril drive, formerly called Schumann's M levitator, emerged from this machine. In principle, the other side flying machine should create an extremely strong field around itself extending somewhat into its surroundings, which would render the space thus enclosed, including the machine, a microcosm absolutely independent of the earthbound space. At maximum strength, this field would be independent of all surrounding universal forces, like gravitation, electromagnetism, radiation and matter of any kind, and could therefore maneuver within the gravitational or any other field at will, without the acceleration forces being effective or perceptible. In June 1934, Victor Schauberger was invited by Hitler and the highest representatives of the Thule and Vril societies and from then on worked with them. After the initial failure, the first so-called German UFO also came out in June 1934. Under the leadership of Dr. W. O. Schumann, the first experimental round flying machine, the RFZ-1, Rundflugzeugei, was developed on the grounds of the aircraft factory Arado in Brandenburg. In its first and only flight, it rose vertically to around 60 meters, then wobbled and danced in the air for minutes. The Arado 196 guiding system was utterly useless. The pilot Lothar Weiss just managed somehow to bring it down to the ground, jump out and run away before it ripped to pieces. That was the end of the RFZ-1, but the beginning of the Vril flying machines. Good and evil, creation and destruction, as in electricity we know plus and minus. It is always, either, or. These two principles, the creative and the destructive, also determine our technical means. Everything destructive is of satanic origin, everything creative is divine. Every technology based upon explosion or combustion has thus to be called satanic. The coming new age will be an age of new, positive, divine technology. From the German SS secret archives. At the same time, the scientist Victor Schauberger worked on a similar project. Johannes Kepler, whose ideas Schauberger followed, had knowledge of the secret teachings of Pythagoras that had been adopted and kept secret by the Knights Templar. It was the knowledge of implosion, in this case the utilization of the potential of the inner worlds in the outer world. Hitler knew, as did the Thule and Vril people, that the divine principle was always constructive. A technology, however, that is based on explosion and therefore is destructive runs against the divine principle. Thus they wanted to create a technology based on implosion. Schauberger's theory of oscillation, principled of the overtone sequence, monochord, takes up the knowledge of implosion. To put it simply, implosion instead of explosion. Following the energy paths of the monochord and the implosion technology, one reaches the realm of antimatter and thus the cancellation of gravity. In the summer of 1922, the first saucer-shaped flying machine was built whose drive was based on implosion, the other side flying machine. It had a disc 8 meters across with a second disc with a diameter of 6.5 meters above and a third disc of 7 meters diameter below. These three discs had a hole at the center of 1 meter 80 across in which the drive, which was 2 meters 40 high, was mounted. At the bottom, the central body was cone-shaped, and the pendulum reaching the cellar was hung that served for stabilization. In the activated state, the top and bottom disc revolved in opposing directions to build up an electromagnetic rotating field. The performance of this first flying disc is not known. But experiments were carried out with it for 2 years before it was dismantled and probably stored in the Augsburg works of Messerschmitt. In the books of several German industrial companies, entries under the code name JFM, for Jenst's Flug Machine, can be found that show payments towards financing this work. Certainly the Viril drive, formerly called Schumann SM Levitator, emerged from this machine. In principle, the other side flying machine should create an extremely strong field around itself extending somewhat into its surroundings, which would render the space thus enclosed, including the machine, a microcosm absolutely independent of the earthbound space. At maximum strength, this field would be independent of all surrounding universal forces, like gravitation, electromagnetism, radiation and matter of any kind, and could therefore maneuver within the gravitational or any other field at will, without the acceleration forces being effective or perceptible. In June 1934, Victor Schauberger was invited by Hitler and the highest representatives of the Thule and Viril societies, and from then on worked with them. After the initial failure, the first so-called German UFO also came out in June 1934. Under the leadership of Dr. W. O. Schumann, the first experimental round flying machine, the RFZ-1, Rundflugzeugei, was developed on the grounds of the aircraft factory Arado in Brandenburg. In its first and only flight, it rose vertically to around 60 meters, then wobbled and danced in the air for minutes. The Arado 196 guiding system was utterly useless. The pilot Lothar Weiss just managed somehow to bring it down to the ground, jump out and run away before it ripped to pieces. That was the end of the RFZ-1, but the beginning of the Viril flying machines. 106, before the end of 1934, the RFZ-2 was ready, with a Viril drive and a magnetic field impulse steering unit. It had a diameter of 5 meters and the following flying characteristics. With rising speed, the visible counters became blurred and the craft showed the colors typical of UFOs, depending on the drive setting: red, orange, yellow, green, white, blue or purple. It worked, and it would meet a remarkable destiny in 1941, during the Battle of Britain, when it was used as transatlantic reconnaissance craft. Because for these flights the German standard fighters Mi-109 had an insufficient range. By the end of 1941 it was photographed over the southern Atlantic on its way to the German cruiser Atlantis in Antarctic waters. It could not be used as a fighter though. The impulse steering allowed it only changes of direction at 90 degrees, 45 degrees or 22.6 degrees. But that is exactly the right angled flying pattern associated with and typical for UFOs today. After the success of the small RFZ-2 as a distant reconnoiter craft, the Viril Gesellschaft got its own test area in Brandenburg. By the end of 1942 the lightly armed Viril 1 Jager, Viril steering unit. It had a diameter of 5 meters and the following flying characteristics. With rising speed the visible counters became blurred and the craft showed the colors typical of UFOs, depending on the drive setting: red, orange, yellow, green, white, blue or purple. It worked, and it would meet a remarkable destiny in 1941, during the Battle of Britain, when it was used as transatlantic reconnaissance craft, because for these flights the German standard fighters Mi-109 had an insufficient range.